Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
What potential economic impact should we anticipate, and what do you believe will be at the forefront of the election, like key economic issues?
The South African election is very interesting now for Namibia because I think that first and foremost, we've seen, similar to what you see globally and certainly in South Africa, we've seen relatively weak voter engagement the last few years. Mm-hmm. So the number of registered voters versus the potential eligible voters is quite low, and then the voter turnout is low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at what happened in Namibia between 2019 and 2020, so between the National Assembly elections and between the local authority regional government elections, we saw quite significant voter re-engagement. So between the 2015 and 2020 local authority elections, there was a 37% increase in voter engagement. Now, we all think that that's probably because of the outcome of the 2019 election, which was much closer than people expected, especially for the presidential election. And so we think that there was some voter re-engagement because of people realizing that their vote could actually make a difference, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, prior to 2019, there was a sort of view that the election outcome was a relatively foregone conclusion because the incumbent party was so popular.
Yeah.
But with the changing voter demographics in the country, so more young people, more people that don't recall the pre-independence period, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
We now see that the Namibian voter can be very influential because it's not a foregone conclusion at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have this big group of stalwart voters who are just going to vote for the incumbent party come hell or high water.
Exactly.
So that becomes very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that the South African election may well trigger similar voter engagement in Namibia because, again, it just refreshes in people's mind the fact that your vote can actually make a difference.
Yes.
Now, we estimate that in Namibia, and the latest Afrobarometer data in Namibia suggests that well over 40% of the population is unemployed. The working age population is unemployed. And that is a catastrophic situation.
Yes.
And it's not at all surprising if people that find themselves unemployed are looking for options or that are different from the status quo. And so we think that the South African elections may well trigger higher voter engagement in Namibia, and mm-hmm. that may well put pressure on the incumbent party here as well.
Yeah.
The other thing that we think is quite likely to happen in the build-up to the elections in Namibia is that our left-leaning parties and individuals are likely to probably drag the policy discourse to the left as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, you know, demagogues, you know the individuals by name. When they put their names on the ballot sheet, they don't do particularly well, but they're very loud. And it's this sort of idea of the vocal minority that you see with the EFF as well. The EFF gets a pathetic quantity of the votes and a declining quantity of the votes, and yet they seem to be very influential in the policy with regards to policy discourse.
Yeah.
And we have, I wouldn't say anything quite as effective as the EFF here, but we have people with similar similar thoughts and similar bad policy ideas who clearly have a good history. But those individuals, I think there's quite a big risk that they drag the incumbent party's discourse to the left.
Mm.
And so you start to see, you know, things like rent control and land redistribution and empowerment legislation and nationalistic inward-looking nonsense like the investment promotion facilitation bill coming back onto the agenda. And that would be very damaging for this economy as we sort of slowly climb out of the COVID and the previous round of those bad policies.
Exactly.
Whole. So that's I would say, quite a big risk. So far, we haven't actually seen much electioneering. But again, much like the South African election, perhaps awakening something in Namibian voters, I won't be at all surprised if it also awakens some fear in the political parties here. And as a result, they come out looking for solutions.
Yeah.
And most of those short-term economic solutions are snake oil. We like to compare good macroeconomic policy and good economic growth policy and employment policy to exercise. You know, there's lots of fads and shortcuts and so on that you can take, but they never really work. And often they end up making things worse, not better.
Yeah.
And good economic policy is exactly the same. Good economic policy is like getting fit in a legitimate manner. It's painful, it takes time and so on, but ultimately there's only one real way to do it. And I think that's something that Namibian policymakers don't really get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we end up with things like you know, between elections, we don't do the hard work that we need to do in order to improve people's lives, yes. create jobs, create mm-hmm. wealth, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then close to the elections, we start looking for shortcuts and smoke screens and so on. And I think that there's a risk of that as we go towards these elections as well.
Mm.
So, I think it's interesting on all sides. The other very interesting thing around this is that the voting public doesn't actually vote in favor of many of these populist policies. The average voter is actually far more conservative, and there's lots of data in South Africa, not much in Namibia, unfortunately, but certainly some. But there's lots of data that shows that the average voter is actually more conservative than I think we sometimes realize.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want, lots of fancy promises and snake oil. They want simple things, access to jobs, access to housing, access to electricity, et cetera, et cetera. And opportunities for themselves and their kids and so on. And I think that that's something that's often missed by policymakers. And one of the reasons the analysts, the good analysts in South Africa, I think one of the reasons that they put the ANC's weak performance down to was a big swing away from the ANC because of NHI, because of the National Health Insurance,
mm-hmm.
by a middle-class voter base that has medical aid and that doesn't want government to run their medical system.
Yeah.
Because they see how government runs Eskom, how government runs Transnet, how government runs, the education system, etc.
Yeah.
And they don't want their health put at the same risk.
The risk, yes.
So I think that that's a very real risk for the parties in Namibia as well, that they look for populist solutions that are mm-hmm. actually, to these sort of populist short-term stakeholder solutions that are actually not solutions at all.
And then Mr. Brown, in conclusion, what strategies should Namibia consider to mitigate any negative economic impacts?
Well, it's very interesting what's happening in South Africa at the moment, and I think that there's quite a good chance that in your 2029 election, mm-hmm. the sort of more liberal, more free market parties will actually do a lot worse. So if you look at the situation in South Africa now, for the DA specifically, they must either form a coalition with the ANC
mm-hmm.
where they, should the ANC allow them, where they have significant influence. If they have significant influence, they'll mm-hmm. be easy to blame for all of the things that go wrong in South Africa, which will be plenty
mm-hmm.
over the next 5 years.
Exactly.
And they will still be very hamstrung by the fact that they're not the majority in government. So they won't actually be able to do what they want. They'll be able to perhaps influence at the margin, but I don't think that they'll necessarily make a vast number of people's lives significantly better. And there's quite a big risk that they will then be tarred with the same brushes as the ANC, the EFF, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
And that will make them less electable come 2029. Mm-hmm. Or they turn away from a coalition now. And they get the opportunity to form a coalition, and they choose not to for the reason I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, they won't really be seen as a constructive party looking to fix things, which will do damage to their support going forward,
exactly.
most likely as well.
Exactly.
Or they form a coalition in which they don't have much power and influence. In which case, they won't be able to influence anything. In which case, they will continue more or less on the track that South Africa's been on.
Mm-hmm.
And the implications of that would be, that they get fewer votes in the next election as well. And so it doesn't look great for liberal parties in South Africa. So, and they are the only party of any significant scale that's actually calling for policy that would make the average South African's lives better too. And that's a big concern. So from a Namibian perspective, I think that we need to really start thinking about the manners in which we could potentially reduce our interlinkages with South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes all of the things that I mentioned earlier. So number one, we have to turn our back on this bad failed policy. It hasn't served Namibia well when we've flirted with it, and it hasn't served South Africa well at all. They've gone in with both feet, and it hasn't served anywhere else in the world well when they've tried it.
Yeah.
So we need to turn our back on that.
Mm-hmm.
From an energy perspective, we need to become more energy independent. And I think that Nampower is doing an excellent job in that space at the moment. There's lots and lots of things happening there, as you see. So the Baines project is in the newspapers today.
Today, yes.
The biomass project is in the newspapers a week or two ago, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, greater energy independence is important. Then from a trade perspective, I think that's a relatively easy thing to address. So when it starts to make sense to import goods from somewhere other than South Africa, we should look to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite confident that those that import into Namibia, the consumables and so on that we do procure from elsewhere, will be doing that as we speak. I mean, it's not as if we eat South African grains only or anything like that as it stands. So that's important. Now, one must be very careful of thinking that I mean now that we must become more self-sufficient.
Yeah.
That is absolutely not what I mean. That's mm-hmm. that's a terrible idea. That's an idea so bad that I think only leftist politicians would think it's a good one. But we absolutely should not become independent. Specialization and trade is what has made the world significantly more wealthy. It's what's made successful
yes.
countries successful. Being self-sufficient is a recipe for disaster. Imagine if you had to grow all of your own food and your own animals and build much less, repair your own car and so on. It's a very silly idea. The world should specialize in trade in exactly the same way that we as individuals specialize in trade. Countries should specialize in trade. So that basically just leaves the currency, and that's probably the most complicated component of the question.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it is something that we need to start looking at. I think the rand peg has been very good for the country until now on a net basis. It has its weaknesses, but on a net basis, it must always look at things on a net basis.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has been net positive. Mm-hmm. But going forward, as Namibia starts to perform relatively well, provided we don't go down the wrong policy roads, but as Namibia's economy performs well, and as we have this growth in general mining, as we have, you know, an improvement in construction activity again, et cetera, et cetera, and then with the oil and gas developments, we need to start looking at ways that we can have a more favorable currency arrangement for Namibia as well.
Yeah.
This is a conversation that no one wants to have at this point.
Yeah.
But it is an important conversation to start.
To start,
and
yes.
We need to be looking at a way that we can that we can have a currency that's more linked to our general trade weighting of goods going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially if we become a significant oil and gas producer, which is looking increasingly likely,
yeah.
then it will give us quite a lot of currency options mm-hmm. that would allow us to move away from the South African rand.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we should be seriously considering and working towards when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope I'm wrong on South Africa. I mean, no one celebrates the demise of a country and the hardships that puts on the people of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we don't need to sort of distance ourselves
yeah.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
But all the signs at the moment suggest that being very careful on the relationship to South Africa and looking to reduce rather than increase that mm-hmm. relationship.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.